Hello and welcome to the DeFi Daily, a 10-minute or less DeFi and crypto update. I'm Amy here with Pat, and today is Thursday, January 7th, 2021.
Bitcoin is at 38,358, exactly where it was yesterday when we recorded. Ethereum's down 4.5% to 1,165. It is notable to say that Bitcoin hit 39,995 today on CoinMarketCap. My God, does that remind me of the 20K barrier from 2017. And this is about the same time that we actually did that. I think the 2017 run ended just a little bit before the first week of January. So I don't know. I'm like super tempted to call a top here. I obviously have absolutely no idea. And if you look at, there's a few different models that are floating around. There's stock to flow model, which is showing that this will keep on going up. There's JP Morgan, which says this can go to 138 or 146,000. We're going to talk about that later in the show. So there's a lot of models that are showing this going up, but you can tell that there was just a whole heap of buys across the board. So essentially the reason it hits that number, this is the same that happened with the 20,000 number. The reason it doesn't actually hit the number is that it's hitting all the different exchanges are hitting 40K at different times, right? No exchange is exactly the same. So what's happening is that it hits 40K. There's a bunch of limit orders set there. People that are like, hey, I'm going to buy my Mercedes now. They sell a bunch of coin. That drives down. So in a bunch of different places, you'll see this tap against 40K. What CoinMarketCap is doing is it aggregates all that and it balances by market volume. So what you'll probably see is some of the biggest market volume ones will hit. So Binance, which is always running a little bit above everything, will hit first. It'll bounce. And then you'll see Coinbase hit, a few others will sort of hit, but all of them will just sort of tap and bounce because there's so much, there's a sort of hard limit of people who really want to just dump at 40K, because I think a lot of people think that that's going to be the new top. There's so many things that would be poetic about that being the top too, 20K to 40K over 2 years. I guess that's the only thing that'd be poetic about it, but that is poetic as hell. So anyways, super interesting today. The markets overall were relatively, mixed bag. So Ethereum was down 4.5%. Bitcoin Cash ABC was up 2.5%. That's weird. There's super high volatility in all of the privacy coins still. So we're going to talk about that also later today, but it's super notable that like the privacy coins have been going up and down and up and down. No one can make any decisions about them across the board. So that's something that's great to talk. That's really interesting to keep an eye out for. Sushi also still on its roll and Uniswap is still doing really well. So interesting day in the markets. Oh, and Maker had a huge day today. Maker hit one of its new highs that we're also going to be talking about. So big news all around.
Yes, indeed. All right. So first, let's thank our sponsor, Bitwave. Bitwave is an enterprise digital asset management platform that does crypto tax tracking, crypto accounting and bookkeeping, DeFi ROI monitoring, gain loss reporting, and a lot more. You can check them out online at bitwave.io or on Twitter at Bitwave Platform. So like Pat mentioned, why don't we start with Bittrex delisting privacy coins, including Monero, Dash, and Zcash.
Yep, this is there's renewed pressure. So this is Bittrex, which isn't the biggest exchange, but it's one that has. So after the BitMEX, I think we're going to see this happening, right? So BitMEX happened. People got arrested, right? So people got arrested, and that put all of the various exchanges on a little bit of edge. So then Bittrex, which also has had some legal challenges, has started to be a little bit more aggressive. But this discussion is happening at every single exchange right now. Every single exchange is having a discussion about about Zcash, Dash, Monero, all the privacy coins, and are thinking hard, especially in light of the FinCEN regulation. I think there's one of these things you see in industries like this is that you will often see the government propose a regulation and the response by the industry is to try to self-regulate to avoid the actual government regulation on this. So this is a attempt by some of the players to start to self-regulate on KYC by basically disallowing non-trackable addresses. And that's, Zcash obviously falls into that bucket. We're going to keep on seeing this across the board. The best analogy I can use for this, and I will use it continuously, and I apologize for how many people I'm sure I will repeat it to, is This is Napster versus BitTorrent. Every time you shut this down through legal mechanisms or through more notable mechanisms, it just forces it to other more decentralized mechanisms. Zcash has a wrapped Ethereum coin. Dash has a wrapped Ethereum coin. Monero has a wrapped Ethereum coin. So you shut these out of the exchanges, all people are going to do is going to go to DEXs. Does it make it a little bit more complicated? Yes. Although even that, I'm not sure. Like, is it more difficult to sign up for Coinbase or to sign up for a DEX? The DEX, you just click a button and sign into your Meta wallet, and Coinbase, you go through full KYC. So in fact, and this is the same with BitTorrent. I mean, honestly, BitTorrent went from like Napster, which you could regulate the one URL, in Iran, which shut down the one URL, to now there's hundreds of Pirate Bay replicas running all over the world that you just can't shut down. So this is, it's always the same thing. Governments have no freaking idea what they're doing in this kind of stuff. It's so stupid. It's better to have the visibility you can have than to push all of this into non-visible areas. And the inevitable bit of this is that DeFi is just going to keep on going up. So this is booming for DeFi.
So very interesting. Speaking of that, Shapeshift is going full on into DeFi and losing its KYC rules.
I was genuinely shocked when Shapeshift, I still remember when Shapeshift added KYC. Shapeshift had, you know, there's a few reasons I was shocked, but so Shapeshift had been one of the early exchanges, and it was, I mean, essentially it feels like a DEX. Like it smells like a DEX. It's obviously centralized, but it had a lot of the qualities that were, you almost feel bad for them having gotten beat so bad by DEXs in some ways. Like they should have done it before anyone else did. They screwed up not doing DEX, not being Uniswap. Like Shapeshift seriously screwed up not being Uniswap because they were right there, but they decided to go KYC and keep it centralized instead of look for alternative mechanisms for it. And so that way it was shocking when they did that. It continues to be somewhat shocking. So this is not surprising. I would argue it's probably too little too late. Essentially what happened was that like Shapeshift has tried to do a bunch of stuff to kind of regain where they were. But what happened was a bunch of people cloned their service and moved out of the United States or just cloned the service in other countries. So you just search for Shapeshift alternative and there's a million out there that will all do exactly what Shapeshift does if you trust them. Plus there's all the DEXs now. So Shapeshift is Shapeshift is valuable because there are still pairs you can't trade if you want to live full crypto. So you still can't, it's tough to go from Zcash to Dash on Ethereum. And there are a lot of coins that just have not been wrapped yet. So Beam has not been wrapped, a few other ones like that. So, you know, if you're looking at that, that's where these guys come in. People just ate their lunch. People just made alternatives to them that were not regulated. I would have expected Shapeshift. If I had been Shapeshift, I would have left the U.S. If they were really feeling this pressure, I would have GTFO'd, left the U.S., gone to Malta or, you know, whatever jurisdiction would have them, you know, North Korea, whatever, and run from there. Because there's no coming back from everyone immediately. It's not a particularly complicated service they have. Not by all the different services that are out there. It's not a particularly complicated one. Everyone just ripped it off and beat them. Shapeshift has a ton of money behind them, right? Roger Ver is the guy behind Shapeshift. They have a phenomenal amount of money behind them. He was a early Bitcoin guy and also a really big Bitcoin Cash guy. So he's got a ton of money. They can keep going for a while. But you're just going to see all these guys struggling to really find a business model at this point because Uniswap, Balancer, Sushi have all eaten their lunch. And honestly, the DEX space is busy now. Like there's no other way to put it. DEX is busy.
Yeah, definitely. So MakerDAO hits a 2-year high.
Yep.
We touched on that briefly.
Yeah, I'll mention it really briefly. The Maker token is not a particularly compelling token. They do it's a governance token, but it's really designed for people. Like when you read their documentation about their token, like I like to analyze these tokens about what is their real value? What's their underlying value? They're obviously not doing any dividends or cashback or transaction fees or anything like that. It's a token for people who are interested in both the operations of Maker in general. So the percentage of fees they're charging and things like that, as well as it is used to help with stability. So it gets burned and it gets created based on the underlying DAI assets. So it's really, I don't think of it as the most valuable token in the entire world. It also goes on the Maker Foundation plus Andreessen own 20% of it. So like, it's not even that from a governance perspective, it'd be hard to get a vote past those things. So, you know, good for them. But, you know, this is another token that to me is a relatively specious value proposition for a token.
Yep. All right. And last, JP Morgan predicts that Bitcoin is going to hit 146,000. That's Pat mentioned that. But that's interesting because a few years back, the CEO called it a fraud.
I can never decide if I should be furious with Jamie Dimon because I don't like him. He was such a prick back in the day. But at the end of the day, I also respect people who change their minds. I don't know if he's changed his mind. His organization certainly has. I don't know if he actually has. He has been relatively reticent coming out and saying anything particularly about Bitcoin. But this model it was based on a comparison to gold. I went and read the paper. So it was based on a comparison to gold and what they thought it could sort of take in that market. And it was based for like a five to 10 year horizon. So, you know, probably not 146 tomorrow, but hey, keep on buying, accumulate.
Yep. All right. Well, that'll do it for today. Thank you as always for listening to the DeFi Daily.
All right. Take it easy.